Well, let me begin this morning with this well-known verse from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The new translations, a lot of them read, "Anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists." In the Greek, though, that word "he exists" is not there. It just says, "believes that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So the original Greek says, "He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, why is that important? Why is it this word "exists" important? It's important because it leaves room for us to ask a question. And the question is this: he that comes to God must believe that he is what? Not just that he exists, but he must believe that he is what? So many wonderful things can be inserted here. He must believe that he is who he says he is. He must believe that he is who the Word says he is. He must believe that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He must believe he's the sovereign Lord of the universe. He must believe that he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He must believe that he's the Lord of life, and more specifically, the Lord of my life. He must believe that he's our Savior, our healer, our provider, our deliverer, our loving Father, the total answer to all of life. But there's more. He who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I must believe when I come to God that if I seek him, I'm going to find him, or rather, he's going to find me. And I know for most of us, I mean, when you look back on your testimony, there are those times where I didn't find God. He found me.
That's right.
And he's always looking for someone who's looking for him. And I could quote a scripture on that. And really, why bother if I don't believe that? Why bother if I don't believe that he is who he is and who he says he is? You probably figured out by now. We're talking about going vertical. That's going to be the title of this series here for the next few weeks. We're talking about going vertical. And you probably figured out by now that going vertical simply means going to God for the answers. That's the simplicity of the matter. And in this series, I hope to inspire you to go vertical more regularly and with more faith. That the frequency of going vertical will increase in our lives. That it will become second nature to us. That the results of it will be clearly seen. Those of us living on plateaus will begin to see forward motion in our lives. I hope that we can come to see that prayer is not as difficult as we thought. It's an interesting, I've been thinking about how people look at prayer. I mean, it's amazing how many of us think, well, prayer, that's hard. And some people even say, I don't have time to pray, which is a ridiculous statement, because we don't have time because we don't pray. And I read Charles Finney's account. You know, Charles Finney he prayed so many hours every day. And he actually came to realize that if he didn't pray, his day was chaos. But as he engaged in prayer on a regular basis, things went the way they were supposed to go. I'm hoping that the sincerity of our prayers will increase and that abiding in Christ will become an attainable goal. And I'm hoping that we will see by the evidence that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What would I be doing if I really believed that he was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? I mean, this is kind of a duh question. If I really believed that, I would be diligently seeking him. Now, I seek him. But I'm not sure the word "diligent" really fits in there very well. I want to be diligent, and I'm asking God for the grace to be so. As I was praying several weeks ago about the vision and direction of the church, I had one of those aha moments where the Lord really spoke to me. And I heard his voice saying, focus on going vertical. And the Lord was not just giving me a message for you, he was giving me a message for me. And I think this is always important because sometimes pastors can get up and talk about what you should do, but they don't do it themselves. Then last week, as Jeremiah was introducing his sermon, it was confirmed to me again. The text from last week was Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes, say it with me, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is what I mean by going vertical. In running a race, I mean, you can easily fix your eyes elsewhere, and we do. You can fix your eyes on the competition, which I think a lot of runners do. You look around and, hey, there's some stiff competition here. And when it comes to us and our forward motion, when it comes to us running this race, there's some fierce competition. And you know, we could do a whole message on that. There's some all the way around. We are the competition a lot of times. We're fighting against ourselves so often. You can fix your eyes on the competition. Secondly, you can fix your eyes on the fans in the stands. You know, hi everyone. Hi mom. And if you're a good runner, you realize that's so stupid. You just cannot be looking for the accolades of the people in the stands of your life. And we so often do that. You can fix your eyes on the trophy, the purse. We can do it for selfish reasons. It's all about what I can get. It's all about me. You can fix your eyes on the trophy running this race. Or you can try this, fixing your eyes on your own inner strength. Pumping yourself up, trying to find your inner Superman. Which is what a lot of us do. You know, we just crank up the willpower screw. And, you know, I'm going to make this happen one way or the other. We try, we try, we try. But going vertical means fixing our eyes on Jesus. And let me say this. We'll only do that if we know for sure that Jesus is the only answer to our victory. Here's the problem that we have. We usually only come to understand that Jesus is the only answer when we have run out of all of our own answers. We've seen all the doctors. We've made all the applications. We have tried to borrow the money from somewhere. We have, you know, tried to get some counsel from the local psychologist down the street. I mean, we've tried all these answers, and now you find yourself, you know what? I got to go another direction. So much trouble is caused by the fact that we have not learned to go vertical before we try everything else. Our propensity is to sit around and ask the wrong questions. The wrong questions. How are we going to grow this church? Now, why is that the wrong question? You think, well, hey, you know, there's some good stuff in books, and we can figure out what the fish are eating, give them the proper bait. We can do things in this community. We know that people, I mean, we can start thinking like, why is that the wrong question? It's the wrong question because Jesus said, I will build my church. Right. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if I want to see the church grow, I need to go over vertical. I mean, not that he's not going to give us some insights into what we should be doing and how we should be doing it, but we can't find those insights here. We have to find them here. Speak to us, Lord. How are we... Jesus said, if I be lifted up, what? I will draw all men to myself. So, what's the key to growth here? Going vertical, lifting him up in spirit and in truth. There's so many wrong questions here. I put a few of them up here. How are we going to be better Christians? Are we going to try harder? No, we're going to go vertical. Presenting our bodies to God. being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're going to grow by learning to abide in Christ. We're going to bear fruit by learning to abide in Christ. There are too many we's and me's and I's in our questions. Where are we going to get the money? How am I going to break this bad habit? Where am I going to find the determination? Where can I find the remedy for my health issues? Where should I start first? I mean, that was a big question as I considered stepping back up here. Where should I start first? Because it's just an avalanche of stuff that needs to be done. We spend too much time looking out and around for answers and too little time looking up. Do you agree with that? All our lives we've been told and taught that the answer is to try harder, work smarter, man up, woman up, suck it up, take the bull by the horns. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And too often we look at the Bible the way the world's religions look at the Bible. We see the commandments. Do this. Do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Be like this. Be like that. Be like Jesus. Be holy, for I am holy. Love your neighbor. Be good. Forgive everyone. Yada, yada, yada. Those are all in the Bible. And here's what we do. We do the best we can. Have you figured out yet that the best that you can is not going to cut it? That's an understatement. After seeing all these commands, we run headlong into these seven little words in John chapter 15, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here, this sounds like an oxymoron. Do this, do that, be like this, be like that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's like do, 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 but you can't do. The Christian life is not hard. Christian life is impossible. And we got to log that in. It's impossible. And apart from me, you can do nothing. You got to put this on your refrigerator door now because it's time to believe this. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a hard truth for us to embrace because we take pride in our self-sufficiency. I always have. We take pride in our accomplishments and in our hard work. But the principle is, going vertical is the way to succeed horizontally. And that's a principle that's not going to change. If we want to bear fruit, we first have to go vertical and keep going vertical. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We all should have that memorized. This was the great truth that brought about the Reformation, justification by faith and not works alone. And I was studying this last couple weeks, justification by faith, and I'm realizing that, I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling, you know, that we so little understand what this really means, how it really works. We just don't get it. We are made righteous by faith in Christ and not by what we do. As a matter of fact, God's works or good works are the byproduct of looking up or going vertical. For the sake of understanding what I'm trying to say, let me alter this a bit. Justification by going vertical and not by works. Abraham, the father of the faith, was made righteous not by what he did, but because he was looking up in faith. His response to the impossibilities of life was to go vertical. And, you know, sometimes you can think, well, Abraham had faith. Well, how did he express that? The subject of faith for most people is shrouded in mystery. So the other day I was rereading Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter on faith, the faith of our ancestors. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did that. By faith, they conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. By faith, they obtained promises. From weakness, they were made strong. By faith, they were mighty in war. By faith, they endured hardships. And they were examples to us all. But ponder this. What does that mean, by faith? By faith. It simply means they continually looked up because they believed. They went vertical. When they found themselves in the thick of things, they looked up. It's as simple as that. And because they looked up, God moved on their behalf. It simply means they continually looked up because they believed. They fixed their eyes on Jesus, as we just read, Hebrews 12 says. They fixed their eyes on Jesus. They understood that apart from Him, they could do nothing. They came boldly before the throne of grace. They entered in. They trusted in and relied on God. This morning, I want you to see with me how this principle runs through the entire Bible. And since I've been studying this last few weeks, I've been putting little GVs by a lot of Bible verses. GV means go vertical, going vertical. Because I want you to see how clear this is in the Scripture. I was meditating in Wednesday morning prayer last week, and all of a sudden these scriptures started popping into my head. And I'll give you a few. This is pop-up scriptures, popcorn scriptures. Psalm 46, verse 10. This was in a song we sang this morning. See how this goes. I mean, how it applies to going vertical. Cease striving and know that I am God. Now, I might add to that, cease striving and know that I'm God and you are not. I mean, really, that's what he's saying. Cease striving. You are not God. You can't change this. You can't fix this. You can't cease striving and know that I am God. I mean, this is talking about going vertical. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted. He's saying, look, I'm here. I will do this, what needs to be done. Cease striving and know that I'm... Go vertical. Quit trying to fix it this way. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Most of us have memorized this. Let us then approach God's throne with confidence. Approaching God's throne, going vertical, is exactly... that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Where's our help come from? Got a prob? Don't call Bob. Bob isn't going to help you here. Approach the throne of grace. Go vertical in the situation. Let us come with confidence, knowing that as we go vertical, God is going to begin to do what needs to be done. And when we look back, you will not be able to say, oh, I did this and I did that. You'll be able to say, I went vertical. God did what needed to be done. Amen. Psalm 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now that's really kind of clear. They that wait upon the Lord, they that go vertical, will renew their strength. Exhausted, out of gas, weary. Here's a scripture for you. Go vertical. The promise of God is you'll renew your strength in doing that. How about this one? John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. Therefore they said to him, I love this, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus said, you got to try a lot harder. Oh, that's another scripture. Jesus answered them and said to them, look, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent. Now, what kind of an answer is that? What must we do to do the works of God? I mean, it's a simple question. And His answer is, you got to believe in Him. And what he's really saying is, let me paraphrase this, you got to believe that I'll do those works. You got to believe in me. He was saying, if you want to do the works of God, go vertical. Here's another famous verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We love this verse, but I don't live it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this stuff will take care of itself. So specific. Go vertical, and this stuff will resolve itself. The sign on the wall out here in the foyer says, because the world needs people who live like Jesus. But the question is, how do I do that? How can I be successful at that? The answer is both simple and it's hard. Here it is. How can I live like Jesus? I can go vertical. I mean, it's all wrapped up in Him. I become like Him as I seek Him, as I see Him. The work that needs to be done in my life is done, has been done through His life. And so I'm going vertical to grow in Christ. The answer is both simple and hard. I love Westside Church, and I'd like to tell you that we have discovered some new and more meaningful way to do church that is sure to reach the culture. But all I can tell you is this, the way forward is up. You can write that down. That's the truth. The way forward for us is up. And I'm talking about, you know, all of us finding the grace of God to go up, to go vertical. How are we going to reach this community? I've already answered, we're going to go vertical. We're going to see God do this and that and the other thing. The answer lies in fixing our eyes on Jesus, believing that He is and we are not. Believing that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I love what Jesus said to Thomas in John 14, 5 and 6. This was mind-blowing to me this week when I read it. Thomas was explaining something to Jesus in John 14, 5. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You're going. How do we know the way? We don't know nothing. Lord, I have no idea what You're talking about. I don't know where You're going. I don't know where You are. I don't know who You are." And Jesus said to him these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the simplicity of it was, Thomas, You know everything because You know Me. Look up, go vertical, and you will not have trouble finding your way. I mean, a lot of times, Abraham left Ur to Chaldees. He had no idea where he was going. All he knew was when he looked up, he saw the face of God and he heard God say, "Come with Me and I'll show you where you're supposed to go." And as he continued to look up, the directions began to unfold before him. And you know everything because You know Me. I am the way. Look to Me. I'll show you the way. And if somewhere along the road, you lose sight of Me, you're going to lose your way. He's the way to our future success, the way through every challenge. He's the way around every problem. So what shall I do? Go vertical, my friend, go vertical. Years ago, I was struggling with my own stubbornness. I know this, none of you have ever struggled with that. But I was struggling with my own stubbornness, and my wife will tell you that, my stubbornness is legendary. And, the harder she tries to move me, the more I dig in. And I think that's the way it is just generally in my life. But I was struggling with my own stubbornness, realizing, hey, I don't know why I can't do the simple things like saying I'm sorry or whatever. It's like you got to pull out my teeth to get me to say I'm sorry. How stubborn is that? The Lord spoke to me deeply during this time from Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 through 18. And this has now become one of my life's verses. But let me read it to you from the Amplified Version for effect. This is Isaiah 30, verse 15. "For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said this, 'In returning to Me, going vertical, and resting in Me, you shall be saved. In quietness and confident trust is your strength, but you were not willing. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee from your enemies. And you said, we will ride on swift horses. But those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 of you will flee at the threat of one man. You will flee at the threat of five until you're left like a flag on top of a mountain, and like a signal on a hill.'" Get this picture here. Finally, you've run out of gas. You've tried all your options. You've run off to do your own thing. And now you're alone, You're like a flag on top of a hill, sitting there on the top. But the next verse is so unbelievably awesome. And it really points to the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. Therefore, the Lord waits expectantly and longs to be gracious to you. You can just get this picture. I mean, you've run all over the country, running away from God. And now you're at the end of yourself, and the Lord is sitting there in his recliner. He's like, oh, you finally got here. I've been here all along, waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Therefore, the Lord waits expectantly and longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate are all those who long for him, since he will never fail them. What an awesome scripture. The goodness of God.
Good.
The exhortation is, hey, look, you got to come to me. And these things that you long for will take care of themselves. And I'm waiting for you to finally stop. I'm waiting for you to run out of gas. I'm waiting for you to finish. And then when you turn to me, look, I'm going to be there for you. It's a great promise of God. On numerous occasions, as I begin to move forward in pastoring the church here, I'm going to be inviting you. This thing up here is not the front of the church. This is an altar. And I know that's a little religious, but it's an altar. And I'm going to be inviting you on occasion to come forward. And not necessarily for prayer, but I'm inviting you to come to the altar at the end of the service when you feel his prompting and spend a moment with God to go vertical. Go vertical. You've heard a word. It's touched your heart. And then we rush out the door for lunch. And half the time, I mean, this is the parable of the sower. He sowed these words, they fell on the ground, the birds came and immediately ate them. You forgot them even before you got to the restaurant. But I'm going to be inviting you to come from time to time as the Lord speaks to you, maybe even more than from time to time. And spend a moment with God. Go vertical. Ask him for his mercy and his grace to live what you believe. To be transformed. To find his peace. To be healed. To be strengthened and delivered from bondage. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I don't know how you read that, but that's one of those precious promises. Come unto me. It said softly and truthfully, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to actually have you stand, and any of you who would like to just spend a few moments here with the Lord. We're not going to get around you unless you want us to pray for you. We'll be over here for prayer, but just come up for a little while. If God is speaking to you this morning about the patterns of your life, about your propensity to do it yourself, if he's speaking to you this morning about the futility of self-effort in your life, and you want to see that broken, you want to come up here and just say, Lord, I'm making a commitment to you. By your grace, Lord, I'm going to go vertical. I'm going to look up. So I want you to stand with me, and any of you who would like to come forward, we're just going to put on some music for a moment. And if you just want to spend a few minutes between you and him, just talking to the Lord, I'm going to invite you to come.